Today's message is the local church, a beachhead for the kingdom. Last week we talked about what the church is supposed to look like, being a multi-generational church. That means there's more than one generation in the church. And we also discussed how the world has crept into the church to divide the church. And once you're able to divide the church, you're able to destroy families, you're able to destroy a nation. You're also able to destroy the destiny of that local church. Today I want us to spring off of that a little bit and understand that in the gospel of Jesus Christ, God has made provision for us that pertains to life. Everything that pertains to our lives is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not just salvation. That's the beginning. But there's so much more. And it really depends on you guys, not me, but you guys really seeking out what the Word of God is saying. And when you come to a place, like Jen was saying, come to a place where she's not sure what's going on. That's where you come to me or Irene or one of the leaders to find out what the Word of God is saying so that you can grab a greater understanding as to what's going on. And we know that in the gospel, in today's times, in today's vernacular, it's really a surrender. It's terms of surrender that God has given to each and every one of us. And those of us who have received Jesus Christ have acknowledged our surrender of our lives to live for Him now. It's no longer us living, it's Christ living. And so I'd ask you to turn to Ephesians, the third chapter, starting in verse 7, and we'll read through verse 12. And this is the most favorite book of the Bible that I have, because it talks about how to build individuals, how to build families, how to build the church, and ultimately the goal or the destiny of the church. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. And this is what Jen was alluding to, is the administration, or coming into that understanding to the truth, for which ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, underline that, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places, according to His eternal purposes, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and in confidence. Most of us think about salvation as a personal response, and you're right. But it's not a me and Jesus once we receive Jesus Christ. It's a we and Jesus, because God is not going to reveal His wisdom through one member of the church. It says here He's going to reveal His wisdom through the church. Or if we want to keep it in a microcosm, through the local church. And I want to ask you a question. What do you think is the church? Stephen, what do you think is the church? Okay. People gathering. Okay. What else? Anybody else? Aspects of the church. What do you just think is the church? You see, these are the things that you should be beginning to start to think about. Because even in understanding those things, you have to ask the pertinent questions of not only why I'm here and what's my life and my destiny and all, but how does that fit into this scripture of the wisdom of the manifold wisdom of God being revealed through the church? And what does that have to do with multi-generational? You see, when God spoke to me early part of this year and said my vision was too small and too narrow, I became indignant. I was like, well, what are you talking about? You know, I could see down the years. I could see what you want to do, Lord. I see what you want to happen. And it's beginning to happen. But God was also saying that I was missing a piece of the puzzle, that not only did I have vision, it was limited vision to us now. It is not expanded to multi-generational. And what that provision really means for us. Some people think that the church is a teaching center where we come for Bible study and we just get all holy goosebumps from the revelation of the Word and all. And that is true, but that's not the only aspect of the Church of Jesus Christ. Because you know what? You're teaching. I'm teaching you now the next step in which should be the manifold wisdom of God for streams. And then you'll be able to understand what I'm going to say a little bit later about an apostate church. Okay? Some people think it's an activity center. By that, there's a lot of stuff going on, productions for dramas or a lot of programs to draw people into the church. And that is true in certain aspects, but that is not what the Church of Jesus Christ is. It also talks about the country club mindset, where the people just come, they pay their tithes and offerings, and that affords them special privileges and perks. And because their tithes are so large, their opinions are so large, and they feel that when they speak, that those things should happen, or certain things should happen in accordance to what they say, or they'll withhold their tithe. And we know that the tithe belongs to the Lord, so really what you're doing is you're cursing yourself, because it's God who blesses you, and you're only returning to Him what's His. When we talk about offerings, and we talk about alms, which I have not taught you about yet, because we first got to get the first thing right. We have to begin to learn to give to God, not pay, but give back to God what's His. And Joel tells us we're thieves when we don't give back to God what is His. And I'll let you decide what that is. There are some that believe that the church is mystical and that, you know, intercessory prayer comes in. And there's a loose stream of structure that we can just float in some sort of nebulous way into the church and we float out. But there's no accountability and there's lack of commitment to things that the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be. Yes, it's supposed to have aspects of these things, but they should not be the only aspect that drives the church. Can you see how Satan has begun to cause gaps, cause divisions, cause segmentation and segregation of God's body? As I said last week, when we start giving labels to generations, what we are doing is actually separating to divide. And the old thing is divide and conquer. My Bible tells me that the Lord said that His church shall prevail. His church is a glorious church, and His church shall kick in the gates of hell. Now, are we there yet? I don't believe so, but I believe as the church begins to mature, especially in an American church, begins to mature and understand the examples that God has given to us to follow, we are on the right footing and firm foundation for God to move upon His people. And as Sean was alluding to, and as the leaders are sensing in our spirits, we know God's about to do something because the warfare has really been all out. I mean, to a point where I was without a vehicle for 4 days because both my vehicles were broken down, to a point that we finally got both our vehicles back. And the monies that I had intended to pay down my indebtedness actually went to pay for my vehicles, but we didn't miss a beat. You see, the Church of Jesus Christ understands that these things will come. We don't become victimized by it. We just overcome it. We move through it because the church is pushing forward in its understanding. And some of us have to come to that place of understanding that this warfare is real. We're going to, when we make declarations to certain things, we're going to meet resistance. And this is all that is what's going on. We have resistance going on right now. Some of our homes are being flooded out. Is that stopping us from moving? No, it's just something we have to deal with, but we are moving forward. Because when it's all said and done, none of this matters, a hill of beans. But if it's enough to redirect our focus in accomplishing the will of God on earth as it is in heaven, we have a problem. And so what I think is the church does not understand because the individual does not understand what the church is. And so I'm going to do a very remedial teaching on the church and how to recognize the apostate church from the real Church of Jesus Christ. What is the church? I'm glad you guys asked that. Basically, the Hebrew word for church is translated as called out ones. That's why when it says that Paul refers to in the Greek, we were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. When Israel was called out of Egypt into God's grace and favor, they were being called out. And all of us have been called out of our dark lives to respond to His voice and begin to start moving in those things. So the church is simply not just a gathering, that's what we do, but the church simply is those who have been called out of darkness into light. Amen? So we're with me on that, right? Okay. There is a problem today. And that problem is two definitive spirits that is attacking the American and European church. The spirit of religion and the spirit of denominationalism. These churches, or these two spirits, have caused churches to lose their vision. They have lost the understanding of what their purpose is, and they have given up their destiny in Jesus Christ. And what we see is an actual, and this is factual, a retreat of the church from certain areas. We see the Church of Jesus Christ. Attendance in Europe is roughly about 25% of professing Christians actually attend Mass. There are great cathedrals where they only have 10 or 15 people attending service. And this should be a warning that we are not susceptible or insusceptible to having this come. And this is why we need to understand God's purpose and wisdom for a multi-generational church and what comes with a multi-generational church. Because having a multi-generational church, when a person becomes born again in the Spirit, you can't join a church. You have to be born into the Church of Jesus Christ. Right? Okay, just like Nolan can't be born into my family. Why? Because I didn't sire him. He's born into the Bryan family. But when he made profession of Jesus Christ, he was born into a more exclusive family, a higher family, a royal family, and became a king and a priest unto God. Now, he doesn't see himself as that, But that does not negate the facts as to how God looks at it. And so what we have here is we have a bunch of apostate churches that are going to bring converts into their ranks when the Church of Jesus Christ should have disciples. And there's a difference. Because converts can leave and go, but disciples are committed. They need to be trained, and they need to be loved through their sin issues, but also brought into the family of God and learn what the family of God is about. Two things God has provided for us once we become born again. Not only does He provide for us a position in His family, but when we attach ourselves to a local church, He provides in these two things a destiny. And what is a destiny? It's a purpose, a goal, the direction that we're heading in Jesus Christ. He provides this for us. And simultaneously, He also provides a thing that I have not spoken about before, and that is a legacy. What is a legacy? What was left behind by a past generation, or what we call an inheritance. Okay? So when we enter into the body of Jesus Christ, we immediately have two riches that He bestows upon us. He gives us a destiny, and it is up to you to figure out what that destiny is. My job is to help you become that which God has created you so that you can fulfill your destiny in Jesus Christ through the Church of Jesus Christ. And that is very, very difficult when you're still thinking about yourself. You see, God reveals it, His wisdom, through the church, not the individual. Okay? The legacy aspect is, because it's multi-generational, we have old farts like me pouring my life into all your lives. Why? So that you don't make the same mistakes that I made, but also my life experiences. I've been on this planet for a little bit longer than you guys, and I want you to benefit from my stupidity. Now, what happens is our youth don't believe that old people can really pour something into them. How grandmom and grandpop, they're okay, you know, all this other stuff. But the reality of it is, that's the thinking that is anti-God, anti-church. You see, when we start thinking biblically in Christ, because my Bible says we all have the mind of Christ, we start thinking in those realms, what is Jesus trying to communicate here? Jesus is trying to communicate that there are no gender gaps. When we start saying that the young people are the young people, and I'm too old to relate to them, that's not of God. Okay? Because what we should have in the Church of Jesus Christ, in any family that functions properly, is this flow of unity. I'm not saying that this flow, that you have to do what I tell you to do, but you have to do what He tells you to do. And I can give you my life's experiences as to when I was obedient to God, how He corrected me, and how do you want the same thing? I mean, if you do, I'll just sit back and watch the circus. But as I was part of the circus, I didn't like it. And so I want to try to give you the wisdom that comes from that experience. I also want to impart to you that the reality of these disobedient attitudes that we have does not come from God. It comes from our flesh and also spiritual wickedness, principalities and authorities in heavenly places. God is trying to reveal something to them that maybe you have not even thought about. You see, their purpose is to divide and conquer. My four and no more. When the reality of it is streams of life is a microcosm of the full body of Jesus Christ worldwide. Let me give you an example. Scripture tells us that all Scripture is given to us as an example to learn from, right? How am I picking up a destiny and a legacy? Well, I look back at the Old Testament, and I read that God chose a man. He chose Abram. He called Abram out of his country. He called him out of darkness into light. God said, I'm going to show you a place to go, and that you're going to inherit this area. God took Abram out and cut covenant with him and said to him, your family's going to be as numerous as the stars. But he didn't have his first kid till he was 87. And it wasn't by his wife. It was by Hagar. And when he did have his son, he was 100 years old. His wife was 90 years old. Before Isaac was born. Now, how is this going to be when he had two sons? One was his, both were his sons, but one was by a maid or a slave, and one by his wife. And God said that both his sons would be numerous. And of course, we know that Ishmael had 12 sons. We also know that eventually Israel had 12 sons. And we also know that they fight day and night, and they're fighting even to this day, of which the 12 sons of Israel became a nation, a mighty nation. Did Abraham see this? No. But he believed God, and it was counted as righteousness unto him. Fast forward. Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, came into the world. God chose a man. He went around and he chose 11 disciples. Right? How many disciples did he choose? 12. 12 is the number of divine government. Okay? Divine government. God's government. He chose 12, of which one forsook, betrayed him, and another was lifted up. Of that 12, they became a family. Jesus taught them to be a family. Okay? Called the church. He called them out. Well, actually, he didn't call them out. He actually let the Holy Spirit throw them out of Jerusalem so that it would spread the gospel and the truth. We also find it in the Old Testament how they divided into clans and tribes, how they were families. When we see that through Achan, when they went through all the tribes, and then they eventually went to the clans, and then from the clans they went to the families, and then they finally came to Achan, the individual. God chose one man as an example of showing us he chose his son to make him Christ and Lord. You see, Jesus Christ is not his name. Jesus Christ is his title, of which Christ, the Spirit of Christ that dwelt in Jesus, dwells where? In me, in the church. Are you beginning to start seeing something, a dynamic a little bit different than what you're accustomed to? And this is the wisdom of God. God revealed to the demons that he was going to have a people, no matter what, he was going to have a people throughout every generation. Multi-generation. God is the beginning and the end. He transverses all generations. And unfortunately, so do the demons. And their whole thing is that they are here to divide the church so the church of Jesus Christ cannot become unified to finally usher in the Lord's second coming and for us to go home. Read your Bible, because that's exactly what Jesus tells us. And our job, my job, is to be an example to you of how to love, how to be unified, how to function as one local body. And so when I say things like, you know, Williamstown Day, when we came together as one, the dynamic, you may not have understood the dynamic or why I was emphasizing that, but it's not streams of life, Pastor Gary, it's streams of life, the body of Jesus Christ. And there were other churches out there that were doing their thing, and praise God that they were making attempts to be a witness and a light. You see, we're not in competition with them. We have to teach them, through our examples, how to lock arms with us, because I'm not about our doctrines, that because our doctrines will separate us. What I'm about is, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes. Then our goal here is to win the lost through how we can be unified, pulling together our resources so that we can live in this wisdom of God before the world. Because the world hates us. The world divides itself and ostracizes people who want to be different. And those are the people that God wants. You look at David's mighty men. Nobody wanted them. But David got them. And he destroyed the Philistines. Kicked butt every time. And that leads us to how to recognize an apostate church. What do you think is an apostate church? Have you ever thought about that? Or do you think that every church is part of the Church of Jesus Christ? I'm here to tell you, not every church is not. And the lies that come from the church to keep people from leaving their church to become part of the body of Jesus Christ breaks my heart. You see, there's three types of churches that I see. One is a biblically based church that sees the patterns of Scripture and begins to implement or align itself with those patterns. Because only then is it fortuitous for us that the blessings of God begin to come upon us, to go through us, to become an outreach to the world. The Jews missed this because they thought that they had Jesus or God in a box, and they were going to continue to hold the blessings for themselves without realizing that they had a responsibility to reveal God to the nations. And this mystery that Paul talks about, which is the wisdom of God, is having the Jews and the Gentiles become one in Jesus Christ. You see, the Jews aren't any better. They were God's originally chosen people, and God will still deal with them. But we're more spiritual Israel than Israel is of itself. Why? Because we have the Spirit of the living God and we believe in Jesus Christ who died for us and paid for us and has redeemed us from the pit so that we can go and declare His marvelous works and wisdom through the church. Now I call it, there's church clubs. And these are people that, of course, they pay their dues and all that other stuff and have their special privileges and whatever. But basically, these people are selfish and self-centered. The churches do their own thing. And they invite people to be a part of that. But basically, they become controlled by those who have the most influence. And they don't become controlled to do the will of God. And then there's the other churches that I call the hospitals or hospices. And what's a hospital? That's a place where someone goes when they're injured to get fixed up. But what's a hospice? A place where you go to die. And these are apostate churches for the simple reason that, and we heard this from a couple churches on a Main Street festival saying that, you know, they're hospitals. And I kind of like, oh, God. Yeah, we're to work to help people get over their difficulties and heal them, but we're to give them a destiny and a purpose for their lives. You're not just to get healed from and delivered from your problems so that you can continue living your life the way you want to live. The apostasy of these churches is that they promote selfishness and self-centeredness. They do not promote being obedient to the will of God. Didn't Jesus say in a man, your will be done, not mine, on earth as it is in heaven. And this is the struggle. People are in apostate churches thinking that they're doing the will of God when they're not seeking Him for the will of God. They're not looking to do the will of God because their wants and desires take precedent over what He wants and what He desires. Because what He wants and what He desires causes our flesh to reel up, and we don't want to respond that way, so we have to take it to the cross to kill it so that we in spirit will do what God has called us to do. And that is to go and preach the good news to the outcast. Those who do not, nobody wants anymore. Those who are forsaken. The orphan. The widowed. Now it's up to them to choose whether they want to be embraced as the body of Christ, and eventually become born again into the family of God, and then learn how to flow in this. But that does not negate the responsibility that we're not supposed to throw a net out there and sort the fish that we catch and say, oh, this one's no good. This one's good because they got a decent job, they got money, their family looks okay. We bring them in and let God deal with them. And we teach them, we educate them, we disciple them. And then we release them as weapons into our Father's hands to be used to go out and get more. Solomon stated that there's nothing new under the sun. The demons have been here because they're evil spirits, and they soon will be destroyed. What we forget to understand that in all the education that we've had throughout these years, that these demons have been here influencing the way we think about things for the sole purpose. Remember last week I said their purpose is to divide us, to create a generation that does not know God. They know about Him. Even to the point where I was watching a show where Stephen Hawking was talking about everything in the universe, and he said, I quote, there is no God, because science can prove it. And I said, you're a fool. Because the Bible says, a fool says in his heart that there is no God. Having an engaging multi-generational church reveals what healthy relationships look like throughout every generation. We should be fighting, believe it or not, how I look at stuff. We should be fighting to be in junior church. If I wasn't here, I'd be in junior church. Why? I want to learn something from these guys. And I also simultaneously want to impart something to them. Well, I don't have that anointing. Neither do I. It's not about anointing. It's about relationships. And when you begin to understand that the anointing is only as good as the relationships that you're willing to build and transverse over to build bridges to, then you have an anointing. When you say, I don't have it, then what you're saying is that's a part of Jesus Christ I don't have. And I can't find in the Scriptures, and I've tried, I can't find where Jesus discriminated against the young people, the rich, the poor, the blind, the lepers. He healed them all. He dealt with them all. He interfaced with them all. So what can we say? God wants to reveal His wisdom through how we relate one to another and how we relate to other churches, other local churches. But the idea here is that we relate and build with churches that have similar vision, that has a destiny and also holds on to its legacy. How much church history do you value? You see, you value world history, which is an apostasy to the church, and you forsake knowing what your forefathers in the faith have done so that you could be here. I've told you years ago, get a book. One book I've told you, and how many of you have got it? Fox's Book of Martyrs. And read it. That will give you an understanding as to what a Christian is, or what I like to call and stand on this side, because I don't want to be labeled as a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ is. Because you see, it was the Christians that persecuted the believers of Jesus Christ. How many of us know about the Inquisition? That was the Christians or the Holy Catholic Church persecuting not only infidels, non-believers, but also believers in Jesus Christ. Hopefully today you can appreciate why I segment these churches as apostate. And the bottom line is they're not doing the will of God. They're in a holding pattern, waiting for God to come for them. My job, and what Jesus says, is pray that you're found working in Father's field when He comes, that the Master may find that you're faithful, not waiting, but working. Next week we're going to learn about there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. And I'll give you examples of that. But hopefully you come away in understanding that this multi-generational church is what God is creating with us. It's supposed to be unified and flowing. Yeah, we got differences and we got uniquenesses and idiosyncrasies about us. But you know what? That's what makes us who we are in Jesus Christ. To get past all that frivolous stuff so that we can love each other in spite of it, because we see Christ in each other and we see what He wants to do with us together. Amen? Father, I just thank You for Your word. I ask, God, that You cause Your church to come together, God, that we lay down the individualism and we begin to pick up the unification, being one in You, one with our brothers and sisters, one with our spiritual fathers and grandfathers, aunts, uncles, whatever. And those who don't know You, God, I pray that, Father, that they come away today challenged to really see where they're at in such a way that You would be lifted up, God, and they would want to be a part of what You're doing and allow their lives to reflect Your great wisdom and love. Father, as we continue on this day, I give You praise and glory for it, Father, that the enemy is mad, and that makes us glad, because God, You're on the throne, You're doing Your thing, and You're bringing it all to a conclusion. I ask that You bless Your people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.